Hi, this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of Chicago Bullseye. We have a very special episode today with the great Buzz and Keith Franz at Bull Scripted. How you doing, brothers?
Buzz, oh, you know, hanging in there, my friend. Hanging in there. Staying through the cold. My furnace is running 24/7 as well. It's going to be great.
It's unbelievable. I tweeted earlier this week, I think it was 70 in Los Angeles all week. I have no idea why they have an advantage. It seems with free agents, you know, how could that be when it's going to be a balmy minus 11 tomorrow? Let's be honest about it. That's a major advantage. It's a massive advantage. That's why Hollywood is in Los Angeles. That's why it's not in Chicago. It's because this weather sucks. This is a joke. You got to work outside tomorrow, minus 11. I couldn't even walk for 10, you know, five minutes without, you know, crying, my face hurting. This is a joke.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. The location
and the brand has to be a factor when the Lakers have blown all their top two draft picks in the last 5 years, and their signings of Deng and Mozgov actually ruined their chances. So they are in no way a competent franchise. They just have a great brand and a great location that LeBron James wanted to take advantage of. They didn't do anything to earn LeBron James in free agency.
Great point. I absolutely agree with you there. So before we get into that, though, I want to talk a little about the game tonight. I thought it was a lot more positive game. This is what I want to see is, you know, the Bulls compete against a team that's pretty good. You know, the Nets are pretty good. They're a playoff team, 28-24. On their court, they competed well. But I also do find it frustrating that, you know, Parker puts up a 22-9-3 in 22 minutes. And, you know, just he's played lights out for the last eight games now. 60% from the field, 50% from three, and just the asinine, just what this coaching staff did with him just infuriates me the more I watch it. And, you know, every game I watch over the last couple of weeks, I've realized he's a better player than Bobby Portis. He's younger than Bobby Portis. If that's what I understand there's too much, you know, big bullseye in his back, and there's too much focus and a microscope on every misstep he has defensively. Bobby Portis sucks defensively. He's just as bad. He just doesn't have the anger of the fan base. So I know we'll make the decision to go with Bobby and overpay him this summer and let Jabari walk. But I think for the Bulls, if big picture, I would like to see a way to keep this guy in the team, especially if he continues at his current level. Let's start with you on this one, Buzz. What say you?
Well, Jabari's been forcing the Bulls' hand as of recent. He's been playing well. He, again, tonight, coming off the bench with 22 points, 9 boards, 3 assists on 10 of 15 shooting, and 1 from 3 for downtown. I mean, he really kept us in the game there in the fourth quarter. Did he score 12 points in the fourth quarter? It was 10 or 12 points in the fourth quarter. I haven't got to run my numbers yet since we're recording right after the game. But, you know, Jabari's been playing real well. And then to go to your point about Bobby Portis, this has been a well-known fact, I think, from Bobby for a long time, is he's not a good defender. He's never been a good defender. In as much as Zach LaVine takes a lot of slack on the defensive side of the ball and Jabari, I don't know why Bobby Portis doesn't. I don't see a lot of effort from the guy. He doesn't get a lot of blocks. He's not aggressive on the boards half the time. So, I mean, it's just, it is what it is when it comes to that. But as far as overpaying Bobby this summer and letting Jabari walk, I don't think Jabari is going to be a Bull next year, but I don't know how well. I think this is a conversation Keith and I actually had on Twitter or through text messaging or something, but I don't know how much they're going to be inclined to pay Bobby this summer, because he's coming off two injuries this season already, and he's not playing that great. So, I mean, I don't see him getting a big payday here.
What say you, Keith?
Right now, I think it's a tough situation because of Portis's injuries. His trade value probably isn't as high as it would be. If you could get a first outright for Bobby without having to take on future cap instead of trading Jabari and taking on future cap for a first, I think that's a no-brainer. You essentially have minor control of Jabari's contract with that team option. You could renegotiate a longer extension, maybe. But at this point, is that relationship salvageable. We don't know what all happened behind the scenes. Maybe Jabari understands more of why he was sitting than we do. But can that be salvaged to maintain Jabari instead of Portis? Because I think most people would agree that Jabari is more versatile and he would be a better six-man option.
His numbers are insane. The last eight games, and he's constantly being limited with minutes, but he's averaged, I'd say, probably between 12 and 18 minutes a game, and he's hitting double digits every game. 60% again. 60% from the field, 50% from three for a team that is offensively anemic, and it's asinine. Even like tonight, he's got 22 points. He still plays 22 minutes. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And the way the coaching staff has handled him, as I said, to me, is the biggest mark on this franchise, because any prospective free agent is going to look at the Chicago Bulls. As long as Boylan is the head coach, wonder what the heck is wrong with these guys. I mean, everybody knows he's I'm not just saying it. Darnell Mayberry said it. Players come into town and ask, what are they doing with Jabari? Everybody knows Parker's a talented, uber-offensive player, 23 years old, and they treat him like this? That has ramifications. It does. When all things are equal, I think that has ramifications. What say you?
Ramifications as far as what? Players free looking agents. At the franchise?
Yeah, like free agents. Like if you're a free agent and you got, let's say everything's equal, the money's equal. I understand money wins in most cases, right? But you're looking at the Bulls or you're looking at another team. Let's just throw out the Memphis, let's say. And all the money's equal. I think looking at the situation and the head coach and what happened with another free agent, it is applicable, and people do look at it, and it does have ramifications for making decisions on whether or not to come here. And I think what they did with him, what they're continuing to do with him, is just beyond belief. It's so stupid, it's just mind-numbing to me.
I feel that Jabari is just the sprinkles on top, or the cherry on top, whatever you want to say, for free agents looking at Chicago. I don't know if you guys heard today, but on ESPN 1000, Stan Van Gundy ripped the Bulls.
Oh,
that completely ripped.
Yeah,
the Bulls front office.
Right. So what did he say? Could you give us a little 411 on what he said specifically?
Absolutely. Stan's
an expert in building tire fires. If anyone has done it, he set the Pistons back 10 years. So he's an expert when he knows when something's bad. And I agree this is bad, but that guy's got a lot of nerve criticizing someone else because he's an absolute joke as a GM and coach. But let's hear what he had to say.
As a coach, I thought he was decent with Orlando when he had Dwight Howard. He wrote up good plays. But as that GM, I don't feel the GM coach role ever work. Besides with Pop. I mean, it never works. But today he basically he went along the lines of blaming – he's putting the blame on Gar and Pax, and like a couple things he said, like Keith said in the beginning, like L.A., they haven't made, great choices, right? They haven't done right things, but it's the location and the weather play a big part in why free agents want to go there. No one wants to come play in negative 30-degree weather. That Stan had said something along those lines. Then Stan said that no one wants to coach here, and the reason no one wants to coach here is how their names are dragged through dirt. While they're here, it's always their fault. Can't be the front office's fault. It's always their fault. So he went and he referenced Thibodeau. He referenced Skiles. He referenced Vinny Del Negro. He referenced Fred Hoiberg, obviously. And then he said they're going to do the same thing with Boylan. To a degree, I agree with him. But also to another degree, I don't. Because, what have those guys done since the Bulls? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but what have they done since the Bulls?
Nothing.
Tibbs is struggling with a lot of talent in Minnesota. He has two guys that are very talented there, and the resurgence of D. Rose, and you're fighting for a playoff spot. Granted, I know it's the Western Conference, so I don't want to get crucified for that. But still, Vinny Del Negro's not a coach in the NBA. Scott Skiles isn't a coach in the NBA.
Well,
Fred Hoiberg's not a coach,
Neither is Tibbs anymore. Yeah,
right. Oh, yeah, Tibbs. Oh, that's right. Tibbs as well. Yeah, he's gone. He got fired too. I mean, so it's just, and kudos to Flip Saunders' son, Ryan. That's awesome, by the way. I haven't really got to talk about that. I'm very happy for him. But yeah, I mean, these coaches aren't coaches in the NBA anymore. So I see a little bit of Stan's point, but then I don't see Stan's point. So it's like a catch-22, man. Whether or not you agree with him,
I mean? Stan's in bed, obviously, or is close with Jeff Van Gundy, and they're in Tibbs. That's the triangle of terror there together. They're all buddies. They're all best friends. And when you get down to it, what happened? The Bulls put him in at limit. on Rose and Noah of 32 minutes per game, and Tibbs didn't like it, and he complained to Jeff, and Jeff on national TV said that the front office was meddling. Lost in the entire argument was the front office was stinking right. They shouldn't have been playing more than 32 minutes. Those guys were constantly being overplayed, and that's why they were always so stinking injured. So, you know, yeah, they meddled there. They were absolutely right to meddle because they had an insane coach that treated 82 games like every one of them was a game seven. That's why we limped into the playoffs every year and sucked and disappointed for the most part because of the way the guy handled the regular season. So, yeah, I know Stan's going to say what he's wanting. And I'm sure he's got some valid points. This has been a tire fire this year, no doubt about it. But, you know, that guy could pound sand. He was a complete joke of a GM and coach.
Well, like I said, I agree with you that he's not the ideal guy to be talking, but what sucks about it, though, Fred, is he has this opinion on the franchise even though his friend is gone, right? And now this opinion is being blasted out through the most major national new sports news station in the world. It's going across ESPN 1000. So if players are hearing this stuff, not to mention the Bulls have been called out by KD this year and everything, it's not a good look for the Bulls, and that's what really sucks.
Who's taking Stan Van Gundy serious right now? His Pistons that he built as a failed executive, he cannot criticize another front office when the team that he put together and coached is in the middle of a longer playoff drought than the Bulls, who are tanking the last 2 years.
100% like agree with you, man.
Who is going to take that guy's opinion seriously? And on the Jabari front, Fred, as far as free agents, Jabari did come to camp out of shape. We can all agree there. He played himself into shape on the Bulls' dime, making $20 million.
Yeah, I agree.
That has to be incorporated into the situation. How they've done him is wrong, but most players know what the Bulls are doing. They know they're tanking. After this season's over, if Jabari puts it aside, that'll look good for the Bulls. Jabari moves on to a playoff team, and he made $20 million because of the Bulls. That really isn't that bad of a look on them. Dwayne Wade was giving them endorsements after the Heat game, and he's no longer being paid by them.
Yeah, Keith, I disagree with. I mean, the whole playing into shape. There's a lot of players that the people in the NBA, Luka Doncic,
not that
Chris
big
Paul.
$20 million though, Fred.
Well,
and that's
Chris
why
Paul does.
Defense
Chris Paul
can't
does.
Be put under a microscope.
Yeah, yeah, but let's not act like he was Fat Albert. That was the most overblown narrative of the whole year. Don't throw out. Everybody's acting like, yeah, the guy was
Fred,
he
could not run up and down the court consistently.
That's not true.
He could not play
that's
it 100%.
You're referring to the Paxson. You're referring to the Paxson quote where he said, "I want to be able to play hard for 25 minutes consistently." Yes, he wasn't able to do that. He wasn't able to
and
do that to start the season.
And
guess what? There's a lot
the
of players, not just on the not just in the NBA, but on the Bulls that I didn't think were in the best of shape to start the year. But that, I mean, to act like that was like
set an example for everybody else, though.
Very quickly, Jabari Parker was putting up numbers. As I proved from games 16 to 24, he was averaging about 20 points per game, and then all of a sudden he got sat for some, you know, asinine reason that whatever
it's
Jim Boylan felt.
To tank. It's not as asinine. It's asinine
again,
in optics. It's not asinine in theory.
They
are losing.
Your argument, though, blows up, Keith, when the fact is that Holiday, during this period, was playing 35 minutes per game. So,
and in order to trade Justin Holiday, you would need him to be playing basketball.
His value
right?
went straight down the toilet during this whole period.
How did it,
he
go,
was
how did it go down the toilet if we got 2 second-round picks?
Yes, yes, it was a miracle we did. It wasn't helped by him playing 35 minutes per game during that period.
You are not trading Justin Holiday for 2 second-round picks if he's sitting on the bench like Jabari Parker.
No, I wasn't advocating
Jabari Parker on his name alone.
Keith, two different arguments.
Justin Holiday.
I don't believe Keith. Hold on a second. I don't believe Holiday should have been playing 35. I'm not saying he should be on the bench, but I'm saying the fact that you're saying on one hand your argument is well they benched Parker because they were tanking is completely invalidated with the fact that Holiday was
Holiday's
playing 35
bad.
Minutes per
Jabari's
game.
Good. It's completely validated.
No, it wasn't validated because Holiday's value went down during that whole period.
How did it go down?
It went down because he was playing 35 minutes a game sucking. That's why.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, Fred. That's where I have to jump in here. I got to jump in. That's the thing where Keith's point is, though. They played him so many minutes, his numbers look inflated.
No.
And no, stupid GMs.
Guys, I'm going to say this.
Two round picks for him.
Holiday's value plummeted absolutely plummeted over
that
period.
His value plummeted if he got traded for 2 seconds.
Well,
despite
yes, he got traded for 2 seconds. But my point was, it wasn't helped by the fact that he was playing 35 minutes. That's not the reason he was playing 35 minutes per game. Keith,
this is the outcome of him playing 35 minutes.
Do you really believe, honestly, that there was a directive from the front office? We need to play Holiday 35 minutes per game in order to trade him. I don't believe that. I will ask KC and I'll ask Darnell. I do not believe that was the fact. And then why is Lopez playing?
What are we arguing about, though? Like, I'm confused. We traded him for the 2 second round picks, which I think was a good get.
It was.
You're with me on that, right? That's a good get.
Yes.
So,
fantastic. Yeah, and that's a product of playing him however minutes he played.
No.
I was under the assumption the whole time that he was getting those minutes to pretty much inflate his numbers and showcase what he can kind of do to get those, because I wouldn't have given a box of Oreos for Justin Holiday. You know what I'm saying?
Buzz, he was playing
10 minutes a game.
He was playing the same amount of minutes almost from game one to the day he was traded, January 4th. They loved Justin Holiday.
Right. He was traded.
They were, and it wasn't. It was. I do not believe. I disagree with you. That's where the issue is. The issue is, and I'll find out from Darnell or KC, and I'll ask them. Did the Bulls play Holiday so much in order to trade him? I don't believe that was true. I think they were actually playing him because they felt like there was their best chance to win. And that's the problem. The heart of the problem is here, Keith.
Do we agree on two things? Is Jabari Parker better than Justin Holiday?
Yes.
Okay, so sitting him would be more conducive to tanking.
I feel that's the heart of the issue.
Is Jabari Parker a more valuable asset on the bench in his new home than Justin Holiday sitting on the bench?
I'm not the coach.
You're not getting anything for Holiday on the bench.
Keith, right. I'm not the coach.
I agree with that.
Those are my only – that's my argument. And because Holiday was traded for 2 seconds, it would tend to lean that way. But we'll see what we get for Jabari. Let's move on to the next
one. Hold on. I just want to ask you one more question. Now, I want to go back. I don't want to let this go yet. Are you telling me, Keith, that you believe Jim Boylen felt when he said Jabari Parker that and played Holiday 35 minutes per game that was helping him was actually helping him win or lose? What am I trying to say here? Jim Boylen believes that Justin Holiday was a better player than Jabari Parker. That's why
Jim Boylen is a puppet talking out his rear end
Jim Boylen doesn't know. He doesn't have a brain. He's like the scarecrow from Wizard of Oz. He's just there.
As Darnell told you in your interview with him, Boylen was Jabari's guy. So Boylen sitting Jabari had to be a difficult thing. And you could see in the press conference when Boylen was stumbling through going, oh, well, we have two power forwards already. He was BSing, you know? He didn't believe it. Like, I understand where you're coming from. You had high expectations for Jabari, and he's showing what he can do. I think he's in the role he needs to be in now. Him and Portis kind of have the same job. But you should keep Jabari. I agree with you. Jabari is good. I'm just telling you, him sitting is conducive to tanking, and his value maintains while Holiday's would be non-existent if he was sitting. Those are my only two points. Everything else we kind of agree on.
No,
those are my two points.
I agree with a lot of your points. My issue with this team, again, is big picture, is you're saying they were trying to tank. I don't believe that. I think they were trying to win. If they were trying to tank, Hutchinson should have been playing a lot more than he was. If they were trying to tank.
He's a positive complementary player. When you put Jabari and LaVine together, you get counterproductivity because the ball doesn't move. It just sticks between those two. So while they do draw attention off of each other, outside of that two-man game, the rest of the team suffers. So that's why Jabari's in the best role that he is off the bench. He gets to play 20 minutes where he can chuck up 15 shots.
I don't think Parker is the best role. You're paying Parker as Antonio Blake, and Portis is a far less effective passer than Parker is. You've got to see this by now.
I conceded that Jabari would be the better fit long term as the sixth man playing.
You just argued that Parker and LaVine was less detrimental to getting the team
together. Together, Fred, separated. When Jabari has his own unit off the bench, like he has usually, except for the close games when you're just putting your best five on the floor, that's when Jabari's effective. When he gets to control everything, and you're not frustrating a LaVine, it's
We're not going to agree on this. My personal belief is this idiot.
You still
felt
think
like,
Jabari should be a small forward starter, I guess.
I'm not saying he should be a small forward starter. I don't believe that. I wanted Hutch to start. I completely agree with that decision. I still feel that Parker can give you some minutes at the three, which he did tonight, and he was very effective at that in certain matchups. The idea that he can't play the three wasn't true in Milwaukee, and I don't think it should be true in Chicago. You can find minutes for him at the three in certain spots, and he could be very effective there.
As a starting three, making $20 million. That's the conflict here, Fred. His best role is Bobby Portis's role as a sixth man behind Lauri Markkanen as a third big in the rotation, assuming we don't.
We're arguing about two different things. We're arguing about the big. My concern is that the guys running this team, I don't believe they were trying to tank. I believe they were that moronic that they felt like the best thing for the Chicago Bulls right. was the bench Jabari Parker.
We had G-leaguers and signed Jabari Parker to the full amount of cap space that we had after we missed out on a cap dump. We'll see what we get for Jabari. If they get a first in a cap dump style trade, it'll look like a post-dated cap dump that they missed.
Heck, He keeps on playing like this. He should be playing more minutes because if he keeps on averaging like he has, I mean, he's playing his way into serious trade discussions.
It doesn't even really matter at this point because they're going to decline the player or the team option on him next year, and his contract's going to be off the books. So, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
I would argue, there's no doubt about that. They're going to decline it, and there's nobody's going to pay him $20 million a year. I would still argue, you decline it, and you re-sign him. I know I'm alone on Jabari Island here. But you sign him for anywhere from between 10 and 15 per year at a multi-year deal. He's that valuable to me. I think he's offense, it's scoring matters. It's insane that, you know, in the city of Chicago, we've been led to believe that defense wins championships. And yes, it does help, but not in today's NBA. Offense wins championships. And we don't have enough of it. And why we're sending this young 23-year-old on his way and waxing poetic about guys like Ryan Archie not in the NBA, guys that don't win games for you, that's fine. You know, we'll just keep on going down this road and be disappointed because that's not what wins in today's NBA. You got to score. And he's one of the few guys that can do it in bunches. But let's get off of it because it just makes me depressed. I can't take it anymore. let's talk about it.
You got three more games, buddy, and then I'll just get to joke with you about it. our existence. So,
what do you think he's going to be traded? Let's start here. Yes or no?
Like I said, if you can get a first for Portis, I'm on board with you. And keep Jabari. Trade Portis.
Which one of those two do you think is? Well, I guess it's kind of a dumb question because Portis's contract is probably so much more easier to trade. But I would argue that Parker's a better player right now. I think most people would agree.
Parker's a significantly better player than Bobby Portis. And that's it. Like, I don't know why that's even an argument with anybody. If anybody sticks up for Bobby Portis over Jabari Parker, Jabari Parker is a better player than Bobby Portis. But with Bobby's contract, like I was saying earlier, with the injuries that he's dealt with this year, I don't see him getting paid the amount of money that he probably thought he was going to get paid.
Prediction for both of you. Which one of the two is going to be left on the team? And which one will be more likely to be traded? And when a trade deadline comes, would you have to – if you were going to bet your house, will one or both of them be gone? And if so, which player will be here? Start out.
I had to bet my house, Jabari.
Would be here or would be traded?
No, would be gone. If I had to bet my house, I think that the narrative that was created with Jabari Parker this year and everything that's happened with this kid this year, I would bet that he would be gone over Bobby. I mean, that would be my choice, I guess. I wouldn't want that to personally happen because I think Jabari's a better player than Bobby. But again, I think if I'd gun to my head, have to give up my house, Jabari Parker would be gone before Bobby Portis at the trade deadline.
Keith?
I'd agree. I think just because of the multiple kind of ways that Jabari has value, one as a contract and two as a player, that you probably have more possibilities to get something done for him with Bobby's injury situation this season.
Yeah, I think if the Bulls would be willing to take on money past this year, I think it'd be easier to move Parker because I think the expiring deal is valuable for teams that want to get some bad contracts off their books. But I don't think the Bulls are taking that money on past this year, so therefore I think Portis is probably the easier guy to trade. My issue, though, now is with Portis, he's played so bad for the last eight games. He's shooting under 40% from the field. I think under 30% from three, something around there. It's not good. That, I think his value is at an all-time low, and he's horrible defensively. Like I brought up this stat today, Parker had two blocks in today's game. For Portis has had three blocks since October 26th. Three blocks, and he's a center power forward. He provides zero rim protection. And, you know, so he's as close to worthless as a defender as Parker is, you know, but I digress. Let's get off that topic and let's go into the Anthony Davis situation, which, you know, Davis is going to be traded. Obviously, or he's requested to trade. Why don't we start out with that? Keith, why don't you give us your teams you think he's most likely to go to? I mean, do you feel that Davis will be on the Pelicans at the trade deadline? You think they're going to wait till next summer, or do you think he's going to get moved?
I feel for the Pelicans, probably the most beneficial way you can get teams like Boston into the race. Right now, the timing of the news is completely strategic to get him to L.A. It feels like he's forcing the Pelicans into it, and that's kind of works in maybe a team like ours' favor because the value for him has dropped because teams have the appearance that only Los Angeles can get him to re-sign, but he does have a full year on his contract under control for next year. The Bulls have the All-Star game. They could possibly get a new head coach. They have the cap in the offseason. Depending on what assets they could retain, you're looking at something kind of interesting. But outside of that, it's really just Boston, the Lakers, and I guess the Knicks are rumored, but I don't really know what more they have to offer than Chicago would.
What say you, Buzz?
Man, it seems like Magic Johnson, from everything that I've read and heard around, is willing to throw the farm to go get him at the trade deadline. If I'm the Pelicans, I stand pat because I think Boston has a lot of good key pieces, but they can't make that trade. And correct me if I'm wrong, they cannot make that trade, right, Keith? And there's a reason behind that. What was the reason behind that?
Not without moving Kyrie. You can only have one player signed under the Rose Rule. Both
right.
Davis and Kyrie are signed under that. So in the offseason, when Kyrie signs a new extension, then they'd be able to trade for AD.
Okay, thank you. I knew it was something like that. So, I mean, I think they can get the better talent from, like, Boston, even though L.A. does have some pretty good young talent.
Yeah, but let's stop there really quick. What's the best you can get from Boston? Like, I don't agree with that. I don't understand where the people are getting the math on Boston. Now, if you look at, let's say they got to sign Irving to a max deal next year. What's that going to cost? 35? I don't know what he'd be eligible for. Keith, do you know, like, what would, if Irving signs a max deal next year, what is he going to be paid?
I do not know the exact figure, but I think it's somewhere around 30.
I thought it was $36 million, wasn't it?
Well, it's 30 and up.
Yeah.
So let's say he's making 30. You got Hayward's going to be making 32. You got Horford that's making 30. Just those three guys alone, we're talking $100 million of cap space. You bring on Davis, what's he making, 25 next year in the last year of that deal? You're already at your – you're completely capped out. And I'm not – Marcus Smart's still, you know, making 10, whatever he is. There's other guys on the roster. Like, you have to give everything. I think Tatum makes 7. You know, you have to give everything away in order to make it happen. And the biggest, the elephant in the room is Hayward's not a good basketball player anymore, or at least now, you know. So that contract is killing that team, and I don't know who's going to take on that deal. You'd have to be insane to take on that deal. So the only thing that Boston has to me is Tatum. All these number one picks, everybody's waxing poetic about. What's the best it's going to be? 10 in a weak draft, I guess Memphis. But even the Memphis pick, isn't that protected somewhat?
The Memphis pick is protected 1-8, and the Clippers pick is lottery protected. So the way things are looking currently, the only pick that they will have that isn't theirs that conveys this year is the Kings, which is drastically compared to what people thought it was going to be as a projected top 5 pick. It's probably now going to be 10-14.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, but they can, I don't know. I mean, Jaylen Brown could be a part of that deal. Jason Tatum could
be
a part of that
Jaylen
deal.
Jaylen Brown's been
a
massive.
I feel like those guys are some pretty good basketball players.
See, but only Tatum, like Fred is getting at, really has value because Jaylen Brown is going to be on the last year of his rookie contract. So he's going to be going into restricted free agency where a lot of teams right. could decide to, you know, just throw a big offer and put that team in an uncomfortable position. So right. I don't feel that somebody like Jaylen Brown actually has more value than someone like Zach LaVine, who could be considered on somewhat of a value
or
contract
Dunn.
For his production.
The Jaylen Brown and Dunn Whoa. Were both in the same draft. They're in the same contract situation. Brown has not played well this year. It's like what,
I'm not gonna bring the Bulls into any potential Anthony Davis trade because that's I'm more likely to grow to 7 feet tall and make the NBA at 27 years old than it's more likely than Anthony Davis coming here to Chicago.
See, I don't.
Well, he doesn't really have a say in a trade.
Yes,
you have control of him for a year. You have the All-Star game. Anthony Davis can tell Brian Windhorst, which I don't believe. Windy is a LeBron groupie. He's not going to say anything that promotes anything that doesn't help LeBron.
Oh, no.
You have
yeah,
the
right.
All-Star game if you're Chicago. You have the cap space. You have what looks like probably an open head coaching spot that you go, hey, Anthony, who do you want to coach this team? Who do you want to play alongside with? You have the ability to offer Anthony Davis the LeBron treatment instead of him going to LeBron and being LeBron's pawn. So the Bulls have a situation where they have the assets because of their projected draft position, which I don't think either team would make a deal with without knowing what that pick is. So the Bulls probably have to wait till the offseason. But the Bulls do have the situation to where it is intriguing enough to think about.
It could be intriguing if we were in 2K, man. It's just not going to happen. And I mean, in the Pelicans won't listen to the Bulls. That's not going to happen. If the Bulls are
the Pelicans don't want to listen to the Lakers. They want to send AD to the East. They don't want to send him to anywhere in the West. The Bulls have somewhat of an advantage because of their conference and because of their young assets. There's not many teams that have more.
Like I said, that's why I had brought up Boston. It's just I don't see AD getting anywhere near Chicago Bulls. And if Gar and Pax do pull off a deal like that with the hope and a prayer that he decides to re-sign, because we only have 1 year of control with him until he can leave, and if he doesn't re-sign and we give up all of our young talents and a potential Zion Williamson first pick or Cameron Reddish or Little or Langford, whoever, that, I tell you what right now, man, I will break everything. I will lose my, I'm not going to swear on your podcast, Fred, but I will lose my crap, because if they do something stupid like that just to say we had AD for a little bit, like you said, he wants to do that one-on-one contract crap. It's proven he doesn't want to come here. And back to the Van Gundy stuff before. When you say who believes Jeff Van Gundy, it's across the whole league that no one likes the Bulls front office. It's not just here in Chicago.
It's
that
across
us
the
fans
media.
It, yeah, I agree.
It's ridiculous. The Knicks it's and the Lakers, both the biggest markets in the NBA, the Knicks and the Lakers, have a longer consecutive playoff drought than the Bulls have in the last 15 years. This is going to be the fourth time the Bulls missed the playoffs in 15 years. The Lakers and the Knicks have missed for 5 years consecutive already.
Keith,
so this
you
narrative
bring up a
gets
great,
killed Keith, so much.
Yeah. We locked into Jimmy Butler becoming a decent player, and like I said, we didn't think that he was the
luck.
30th pick. He
it's,
helped.
It's,
yeah,
it's
we lucked into it.
We lucked into taking Rose over Beasley. We lucked into Noah. We
lucked into Tyus.
We lucked into Butler. We lucked into Tyus.
Lucked into Nico.
Anybody that would help him win.
You can't call everything luck.
I'm not calling everything luck. That's where you and I get it twisted all the time. I'm not calling everything luck.
Is not luck. That was drafting a veteran.
I'm a college football and I'm a college basketball nut. I knew who Jimmy Butler was coming out of Marquette. I knew he was a good player. Came out with Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder was his teammate at Marquette. I thought Jimmy had some potential. For sure. I agree with you wholeheartedly. My point of the matter is that it's been a revolving door with head coaches around here. What
if
they've done with Jabari
have pointed
is
out,
not helping.
Have not had success after they left Chicago, which would justify the firings. People hated the Thibodeau firing. It's looking genius right now after Thibodeau traded a whole entire roster to rebuild the team that he originally destroyed. That looks genius right now, if
nothing
you ask
looks
me.
Genius. No, nothing looks genius right now, Keith, because we're in the bottom of the league.
Well, that's kind of where you want to be right now. I don't know where you expected to be year two of a rebuild.
I'm not. I don't expect to be up top, Keith. I'm saying that you guys say it's the media, it's just the media, it's just the media. No, it's not. You had players speak on it too this year, man. That's something that I don't like to see. I don't like to see KD questioning an Antonio Blakeney deal. Or what are they doing with Jabari? Players saying that, just like Fred said, that Darnell said, that players are like, why is he not playing? What is going on here? That brings up a terrible precedent. That brings up something like, I'm trying not to swear. I swear a lot. I don't mean to. I'm working on it. I got my daughter now. I try not to swear as much. But
it's all right, bud.
I'm telling you, man, like, this is something that is serious. I don't care about money. Like, that's the thing. It's like, oh, well, if you throw money at him, no, not if you
they
throw
care
money
about
at
money and opportunity. You think it all matters at the end of the lottery when they get, if they get a top prospect and they bring a new coach in and they have the cap? People aren't going to turn down the money and the opportunity here. That's ridiculous. I do not believe that for a second.
Well, I'll tell you what. As soon as we become a not first round exit playoff team, and not have a crappy front office where we're always talked about. And like I said, I've told you this before on my podcast during conversation. I think John Paxson's a great drafter. He's drafted very good players. I've said that before.
And what are we doing right now? We're focusing.
I didn't think Jimmy Butler. I didn't think Jimmy Butler would turn out to be what he was. I thought he'd be a good player, but I didn't think he'd become a perennial all-star. I'll give you that wholeheartedly. But at the end of the day here, we've drafted Lowry Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. Wendell's hurt in his rookie year. Lowry's battled a few injuries so far, and I think Lowry will be good. But you need to bring someone in to pull it all together. Just because you have the talent doesn't mean that it's going to correlate and translate into wins. That doesn't mean that. You need a leader. You need a good coach to help pull everything together. I still am one of the few, I guess, that believe that a good head coach is needed within the NBA to wrangle together young talent, just like Stacey said the other day.
And
you need
can you explain to me where you were going to find one of those midseason when college coaches aren't leaving their job?
Did I say I wanted one midseason, man? I'm saying they missed on seven of them so far. Seven. That's what I'm saying.
I think this is the sixth, and likely an interim. And as you pointed out, all the previous coaches did not have success after they were fired. Popovich's don't grow on trees. Phil Jackson's don't go on trees.
I understand they don't go on trees.
The masterminds in the NBA. I'm not. I'm just being realistic.
You're not being realistic.
Yes, I am.
You're bringing up the Lakers and the Knicks playoff drought. The only reason the Bulls had, you could say that they made the friggin' playoffs and not has the longest drought as they do, is because of friggin' Derrick Rose being an MVP. That's
and
why.
Who they selected over Michael Beasley, but that was luck. Let's get back.
I'm not saying that's luck, dude. I'm not saying that's luck. I'm just saying they got an MVP. They had an MVP talent. And anybody who said Michael Beasley over Derrick Rose should have been killed. Sorry, man.
There was a lot of people saying that. Buzz, one thing though, they made the playoffs without Derrick too. I mean, they did draft Noah, who made first All NBA. They did draft Butler, who made second All NBA. It wasn't all Derrick. I mean, Derek was great, no doubt about it. He was MVP, and that's when we had a legit chance of winning a title. But, you know, after he went down, we still made the playoffs after that. We just, you know, with Nico and Butler and Rose and not Rose,
well,
and Noah and Paul
Gasol. Those players 38 to 39 minutes a game and killing them.
Yeah, well, that was their head coach. I mean, first of all, your back and forth you guys had was fantastic listening, because I agree with both. I think you both make good points. I think, Keith, you brought up a point, though, I want to go back to, which I didn't even think about, which is, you know, everybody's saying, well, you know, Anthony Davis doesn't want to play in Chicago for whatever reason. And everybody assumes it's just because of the incompetence of the front office. First of all, we haven't heard it from him. And you brought up the point, which I think is an excellent one, that Windhorst is a, you know, obviously an Anthony is a LeBron stan. That's a great point. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right on that. Maybe he's hearing it from LeBron and his team. Has he heard that from Anthony Davis? Who knows? Maybe there's a legitimate reason that Anthony Davis doesn't want to play in Chicago. I heard Casey Johnson talk about it, that it's some people embrace it like Derek did. Some people have a hard time playing in their own city. You know, so maybe there's another reason outside of the front office. I do know that I kind of feel I'm at the point where I'd be willing to take a chance. Like when Indiana made the trade with Oklahoma City and they sent Paul George to Oklahoma City, everybody said, "Oh, he's going to L.A. He's going to L.A." Well, this is so stupid. I can't believe Oklahoma. Well, lo and behold, guess who's still in Oklahoma City? You know, I think things can change. I don't think the situation with the Chicago Bulls is as bad as it looks right now. Like, next year, let's say they do make the trade. Let's say they send Lowry Markkanen. Let's say they send their number one pick. And I think that is enough to get it done. Let's just assume so. But, you know, they're going to have LaVine or Wendell Carter or one of their good players still here. And next year you go into a season where you have still cap space to sign another free agent and build around those guys. I don't think the situation is going to be as dire and as bad next year. And it's going to be a situation where he's absolutely going to leave. Maybe I'm wrong. And if he does say he's going to leave, then you trade him. You trade him again. You know, what's wrong with that? What say you?
As far as Paul George going to OKC and staying, I mean, he has Russell Westbrook, who's an MVP winner.
That's right. Well, he could have Zach LaVine.
I mean, he doesn't have a bunch of young but he doesn't have a – Zach LaVine, Russell Westbrook is like – I don't know.
I know.
Like beggars
I agree. I know. It's not apples to apples, but it's the East. It's apples to East. And Zach LaVine, they seem to have a good relationship. I don't know. I know he's not what.
Like I said, where I sit with that whole thing is, I can't with that one. But where I sit with that whole thing is, man, is listen. I don't want to have to go through all that, and I don't think that Lowry alone gets it done. Did you say Lowry and the first round pick? Is that what you said?
Well, it's going to be some combination of Lowry Markkanen. I don't think LaVine would agree to a trade to New Orleans, so that's why I kind of keep him out of it. It's either Lowry Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., and the number one pick or all of the above. Like, that's the combination that would get the deal done. And I think the Pelicans would be insane to turn that down. They would
be insane to turn it down, but I think the Bulls front office needs to be a little bit smarter than that just to be like, okay, you know, Lowry, everybody in the city is all over him right now.
I love him.
Have a chance to get a generational talent such as Anthony Davis, a top 10 player in this league.
He's top five. That's the thing. Is Lowry Markkanen ever going to be top five? I don't know. And
I
love the kid.
I don't know. I don't know that.
I don't think so.
You know that AD does struggle with injury problems constantly. He's got that going on for him. I just, again, if I can't get a verbal commitment, if you're asking me if I'm a GM and I can't get a verbal commitment, hey, man, just play out this last year and we'll talk and see how it goes and then I'll throw millions at you. Nah. If I'm trading for you, you're signing an extension with me. You're going to be with me
as long as you can't get a verbal commitment by next year trade deadline, then you trade him then. Keith? What say you on this?
I'm presenting the case for the hopeful on Anthony Davis. I kind of side with Buzz here. I don't mind being patient. If I were trading for Anthony Davis, I'd have to keep Lowry Markkanen. That is the one piece I'd have to keep. Everything else I'd move. But if I'm building a team, I want Anthony Davis next to Lowry Markkanen. I think
I'm 100% with you.
Him and Wendell would be a force on the defensive end, but they kind of play a similar role. You want the spacer in Lowry next to Anthony Davis. I think that is your nucleus. That is what you need to be left with if you are trading for Anthony Davis, and then you can fill whatever other holes in free agency. But I do lean to this. I don't think this deal gets done for the Bulls now before this trade deadline, because the Pelicans are going to want to know where the Bulls pick is. And if they trade Anthony Davis here, they don't have a guarantee that the Bulls are just going to sit Davis and continue to tank for them and not go on a 20-game win streak with Anthony Davis and whatever the hell's left here in the East. So I think that's kind of where the problem comes in for the Bulls, is they will have to wait to the offseason like Boston. This situation right now is strictly aimed at the Lakers and them getting this deal done. It's set up for that and that only. Everybody else is kind of just a spectator unless they throw a crazier offer out there.
Speaking of the Lakers, Keith, did you hear about, and Fred, I want to get your opinion on this real quick and then we'll go away from it. Now that we're here and I'm actually enjoying this, I'm having so much fun right now. A third team is if Lonzo Ball is a part of the deal, a third team is wanted. Would you entertain that idea?
Depends on what you're asking me to give up. You're just saying a swap of Dunn and then you get that extra year of Lonzo's contract, because I think Dunn and Lonzo are similar, but Lonzo's younger and you'd have more control. I think that's something I do, but that's about where I draw the line. I wouldn't want to give up anything extra.
Well, me too. I've read Jabari going to New Orleans in this supposed three-team deal, and you know how these websites are. They make these things up, and it's just, you know, a fallacy. It's not true, but Jabari going to New Orleans and Chris Dunn, I believe, it was either to the Lakers or New Orleans, I can't remember, but us getting Lonzo Ball and KCP back. I just thought it was an intriguing trade, and I said the same thing that you said to a bunch of my friends that I was talking to earlier about, is that extra year of control and Lonzo being younger. What about you, Fred? What do you think about that?
So, I mean, I know with Bulls Nation, Chris Dunn is at the lowest point he's ever been, but with me, I've seen a lot of growth with Chris Dunn this year. I think he's passed the ball much better and facilitated much better than in previous years. And he's not shooting it. I think he is at career highs for three-point percentage, field goal percentage, and free throw percentage. But, you know, he's not getting the free throw line as much. Regardless, I really have still high hopes on Chris Dunn. I do think point guards, it generally takes a little bit longer to develop. Mike Conley, for the first 4 years of his career, was considered a bust for the most part. In general, that position takes a little bit longer than other positions. And I'm not confident that Alonzo Ball will be better than Chris Dunn when all is said and done. What say you?
I see. I'm kind of with you. I like Chris Dunn a lot. I want him to, you know, be successful. I think that he's got the right attitude to be successful. But, you know, again, he is a little bit older. I don't think we lose much with a trade like that. I don't know how much necessarily we gain from getting Alonzo Ball. But I would be curious to see how Lonzo kind of runs an offense with, you know, a Zach LaVine. You know, Lonzo looks to pass first. That's his first. That's what he does. And he's actually a very underrated defender as well. But he looks
he's not
to pass
as good as Chris
first.
Dunn, though. Chris Dunn's a fantastic
defensive
defender.
Numbers this year are really good. He is a very good defensive, but his defensive numbers are comparable this year, Fred. They really are, which is surprising. I looked it up on Basketball Reference today. It's very surprising. I didn't think, you know, I'll send you the links to it. I've got the comparisons and everything ready to go. But Lonzo runs that offense differently, where he's fast-paced and he looks to get his shooters involved. I think that would help greatly benefit a Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., who can shoot, you know, from 18 to, you know, 18 feet out. Zach LaVine, I think that would be intriguing. I wouldn't, like, you know, beg for it to happen by any means necessary, but I think it would be intriguing. I've seen a lot of Lonzo to the Bulls rumors on Twitter and stuff like that today, so that's why I brought it up.
What do you think?
I mean, I'm one of the biggest Chris Dunn supporters still in existence. A lot of people have vacated this property, but yeah. I have faith in Dunn, and I always, because of Bulls fans that like to bring up Dinwiddie, I compare Dunn to Dinwiddie. Last year, Chris Dunn played better than Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie's a year older than Chris Dunn.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah.
Point guards do develop slower. Chris Dunn has yet to start 82 games in the NBA. He's yet to play 40 games with Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. So I kind of weigh – the only thing that makes that idea appealing to me is the extra year on the rookie contract and the potential of Lonzo having maybe a higher ceiling because he is younger. But it's not something that I'm like, oh, my God, we need to do this. It's something that I'd be cautious in doing and I feel could backfire. So
yeah,
if it happens, I'll live with it, but it's not something that I'd endorse.
I think LaVar would be great. I think that he would just
entertain me. But I think Dunn is one of the most frustrating players I've seen in Bulls uniform. Because I think he's really alternatively brilliant and just frustrating, often sometimes within, you know, multiple possessions. You see flashes of greatness from him so often, and then, you know, just with the dumb turnovers. Tonight he had several dumb turnovers, but, you know, then he hit some big
shots. Six turnovers, zero assists.
Yeah, that's just – and I've seen people just bury him on Bulls Twitter because of it.
Well, and then tonight he was 6 of 10 and I think 2 of 3 from 3-point.
Yeah, he came alive in the fourth quarter, too. Yeah. He hit a couple big shots.
Yeah.
So Chris Dunn is just failing to put everything together. It seems he either has a good scoring night or he has a good facilitating night. He's got to find the balance just like Zach. And that's what the rest of this season is for, because it's definitely not for wins.
Well, Keith, I can't wait for you to finally get on the bandwagon along with the people that you're referring to, that Spencer Dinwiddie would have led the Chicago Bulls to a title. I think that you need to finally accept that in a minute. So
yeah, just like Mirotić and Etuan Moore, who Anthony Davis is literally paying fines to get away from, and we didn't even have a Drew Holiday. So I really losing sleep over mediocre players that aren't going to get us to the goal we want anyway is just losing sleep for nothing to me. Yusuf Nurkic and Gary Harris, great. Yeah, they're good. Doug was mediocre and bad, but Doug's still in the league making $10 million, and they make more money, and they're not really top 10, top 20 players either. So,
who do you guys feel on that Lakers roster is the most, you know, desirable talent?
Kuzma, which is the crazy part.
Yeah, I have to agree with Keith. It'd be Kuzma. And, you know, I would love to say Brandon Ingram, because I thought that Brandon Ingram was going to be, you know, I thought he was going to be a lot better than he's been. I don't know if it's just like a head thing with him, but I don't know.
I thought Ingram was great last year. I thought he showed a lot of great signs. And now he's stuck with LeBron. I say stuck with LeBron. It's just some players, their games are not conducive to playing with LeBron. Doesn't mean they're bad players. I think he's by far, to me, the most talented one. He's the guy I would want. You know, Kuzma, I know he gets a lot of love, and he's a late-round pick, and it's a nice story. But I don't think he's as talented as Ingram. And he's definitely older.
How old is Ingram now? No doubt it would be Ingram.
Yeah.
In general, Kuzma. But it's also, you could argue, that they gave away their best asset and D'Angelo Russell, who we watched play tonight for the Nets.
Oh, great. He killed us. Killed us tonight. Yeah. Killed us tonight, too. Yeah, I got to admit, I mean, Russell really has turned his career around with New Jersey. My gosh.
He's a restricted free agent. We got money.
Boy, that's an interesting discussion there. Out of the blue. That's a good talk. You know what? Yeah. Guys, I do want to go back to one thing, because my good friend at Fly Riv sent me an email, and he brought up this point that, let's say the Bulls did, let's say through Markkanen, I think what we talked about, ideal trade would be Markkanen, Dunn, and a number one pick. Let's say that was enough to get it done, to get him over here. Davis, even without the commitment. Then guess who's your four? Jabari Parker. Jabari Parker, he made the case, would thrive, would be a great fit, you know, next to Davis, to have Davis play the center position, and then you figure out the rest, right? Well, Dunn would be off the roster. Obviously, you need to upgrade the point guard position in the offseason, but a team like LaVine, Parker, and Davis in the East, he felt would be significantly better than the Pelicans, which is Holiday. What's the big three, you know, down there? Nico? Is Nico actually considered in the big three in New Orleans?
Nico is a superstar, Fred. How dare you disrespect
him? I can't believe that you're hating on Nico Mirotić right now. His pump fakes are unbelievable. He leads the league in that. So you need to start showing some respect. I've always hated on Nico.
I gave up on him a long time ago. So, but think about that. I do feel like the Bulls could really have an interesting team for the remainder of the season, and then, you know, play as well as they could to get, you know, lessen the impact of their pick that they gave away, and then, you know, really try to do some damage with some nice signings. Maybe bring in a Beverly. You go into next year, you got Beverly, LaVine, Valentine will be healthy again. You could pick up another three. You know, I don't know if Tobias Harris would be able to fit on there. And then you'd have Parker, figure out a way to keep Parker on the roster. Parker and, you know, how great would that be?
Well, the Pelicans would be set up pretty good, because they would get Lowry, Dunn, and they potentially Zion. I mean, but if you did it at the trade deadline, I think, oh, man, that's tough, Fred. Because you know Ryan Arcidiacono would be your starting point guard for the remainder of the season, and I hope you would get to the next season with him being the starter, because I don't want you to have a mild heart attack with him starting.
Well, everybody just assumes that we're getting Zion. Like, it's like the odds are not in our favor, right? It's 14%.
I said potentially.
Yeah. I mean, Fred,
I hate to ruin your super happy dream here with Jabari and AD sharing the front court together. But I don't think it's going to happen. Like I said, if the Bulls are going to get AD, it's going to be in a trade in the offseason. The Pelicans are going to want to know where the Bulls pick falls in the lottery. The Bulls are going to want to know where it falls. It's just the timing, obviously, the timing to get AD is always now. But at the same time, it just, I don't think it lines up for the Bulls in the next 9 days.
Yeah, you're probably right. It was enjoyable chatting about it, though, man.
Shumpert.
Oh, no, yeah, here we go. Oh, Buzz is right on point. Bring Rose back. Yep. Resign Jabari. Get Anthony Davis. Let's get Isaiah Thomas, the original out of retirement, to come coach the team. Yep. And we just get the Chicago squad going.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, Keith. That's where I'm at right now. You have Rose, Shumpert. We'll throw in Valentine just to be there, because he went to Michigan State. We'll have Jabari and Anthony Davis. And you pretty much have a Chicago starting lineup. And then you – yeah. that'd be great.
You know, one thing I do want to add before we wrap up shop here, God, it's been an hour here already, so thanks, guys. I really enjoyed your back and forth, especially. But, you know, there was an article that came out, and of course Bulls blogger jumped on it, that ranked the trade possibilities, and they had the Bulls at 27. Some moron, you know, decided to write it, some former attorney who works for Bleacher Report. Give me a break. Like, and you're running around like that's some kind of law. Is there anybody in a right frame of mind who really believes that the Bulls could put together the 27th best offer for Anthony Davis? Is that logical?
That's stupid. And whoever wrote that sticks to one team and doesn't really know the NBA and what teams' makeups are. The Bulls have a bunch of young talent. This is something that we know. Wendell Carter Jr. has the potential to be very good. Lauri Markkanen has showed us that he is going to be good. I'd like to see him be a little more aggressive, but that'll come in time. You have Zach LaVine, who's a young shooting guard who's averaging over 23 points a game. Chris Dunn, who's coming into his own. You have a lot of talent there. And you have potentially a top three pick in the draft. Potentially. If he put us at 27th, he shouldn't be able to write anymore. But considering the source of the website that you just told me he writes for, I'm not surprised.
What say you, Keith?
No, yeah, that's anybody saying that has no clue what they're talking about, because the worst five teams in the league have probably the most potential to trade for Anthony Davis, because teams don't want your old draft picks that you don't want anymore. They want their own top five pick to take their own swing on their guy that they fell in love with through the process. That's what they want. So the teams that have those high-end picks, they have the best bet at Anthony Davis, the same way the teams that had the high-end picks had the Jimmy Butler. It's just the way it works, and that's why Bulls fans that are frustrated with the current situation have to understand that sucking like this and hurting this much every night does open up the most possibilities moving forward.
As long as the Bulls can get in the top three, I think that's the big point. Like, because I can see them going anyway, right? Like, to me, what you got to do no matter what is you got to find another competent, very competent point guard who could potentially challenge Dunn to start. That could either be Patrick Beverley in the free agency market, or you could draft that guy. Or you need to find a three. You know, can Barrett play the three?
Absolutely.
So Barrett could draft him. You got a three, and then you got four and five wrapped up for the next 10 years. And Wendell Carter Jr. Markkanen, you got your three for the next 10 years, and you got LaVine. Run with us, or you make the trade. You know, you figure out a way to make it happen for Davis. Or let's say you draft the top three is Morant. Let's go one more time. So Zion, you draft Zion, right? You draft Zion, and now you have your front court that you just divvy out the 96 minutes three ways, and then maybe give some minutes to Zion at the three, and then you use free agency to get a guy to be your two and one. It's pretty simple. It's not that difficult, you know, to see the path forward here.
No, and I'd like to add that all this is going to be done before Jimmy Butler signs his next contract. Contract we traded Jimmy Butler to avoid paying. Our pain and suffering in the talent acquisition process could be done before Jimmy Butler inks his new contract. We could technically re-sign Jimmy Butler after trading him away and acquiring all these pieces.
No, please.
I'm not saying that's what I want to do. I'm just saying the irony of that situation, that the Bulls will have been able to rebuild and technically be able to re-sign Jimmy Butler and bring him back to the core that they rebuilt by trading him, is kind of crazy. And that's why I'm a little more content than most people.
Very good point, Keith. Buzz, are you more content now that we spent an hour talking?
I mean, content as far... I love rebuilds. I do. I'm a rebuilding guy. I do it in my video games. I watch the Captain Kirk rebuild, which we got, you know, we did decent with. I'm cool with all of that. I'm just, like I said, I was concerned in the beginning when our front office continues to get blasted by players and media and former frigging coaches in the league, where it's not a good look. That's my point. And when, you know, like I said, Derrick Rose, his quote from before, this is the happiest I've been in a long time, coming in not worrying about the media like I did when I had to in Chicago, media, or dealing with the front office like I did in Chicago, or just dealing with any problems. That is what concerns me from players wanting to go, especially players from Chicago like AD.
Have you ever been fired, Buzz?
Have I ever been fired? No, I have not been fired.
Well, do you know somebody that's been fired? Were they happy? Did they get to stay in their house that they were currently in? Did they have to move states? And that's the thing that I don't get. It's terminating relationships in the NBA, it's coaches or players. It's never going to be a happy situation.
I'm not saying it's a happy situation, but he's proving a point of what he had to deal with.
Yes, but he also, once he came back to Chicago, left it open-ended that he would return here, that it's not a, you know, off-the-table kind of thing either. So I think we can all twist quotes the way that we want them to be sometimes, and I think we all do that. But I really don't think that the Bulls are that bad. Once they get through this, this season sucks. They're walking through this on a street of shame. But once we get to this offseason, if they do the right things, we have a clean slate.
Yeah, like I told you, I'm not mad about the rebuild at all. You know, I was all for trading Jimmy Butler and getting young assets. I'm on record saying that in a million different places. That's what I wanted to do. What worries me, and I have the right as a Bulls fan and an investor in this team to be worried because of everything that comes out about them, whether we want to call it national media being twisted or not. I don't like to hear that head coaches don't want to come coach here because of Gar Foreman and John Paxson. That scares the crap out of me. If it doesn't scare you, that's fine. I don't want to be mediocre for the next 10 years. That's what my whole point is. I want to make sure that this thing goes as perfectly as it possibly can, and I will not be able to sleep and or be content until I see it going that way.
Hey, distrust is a real B, so I can feel you. I have a little more blind faith, and I think talent fixes everything, and coaches will want to coach top talent and have an opportunity. So,
I mean, you know me, I'm a Bears and a White Sox fan. You got to know me, buddy. You know that my faith is gone. I mean, I'm just sitting here, I'm hanging by a thread.
This poor guy's relying on Jerry for two people, Fred. That's why he's out of his mind.
I'm trying to get Manny Machado over here, man. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I'm like down to 92 pounds. I don't know what you want from me.
You know what's going to happen after all said and done? They got all of Manny Machado's friends. And they won't have Manny Machado. I can't wait. I can't wait,
Fred,
Buzz.
I'm going to laugh. You know what? I'm going to slam the door on you right now. And I'm screw you guys. I'm going home. I'm not dealing with this crap.
They're terrible. They're terrible.
Knock it off, Fred.
That's another topic. Wait. You had a very successful Sox Fest this past weekend in front of a crowd of tens, hundreds. It was great. Congratulations on that.
It was
wonderful at the Motel 6 in Bridgeview. It was
sold out at the Hilton.
Oh, it was. Oh, I didn't know that. Are you kidding me?
The Motel 6.
Sorry, I wasn't aware where it was at. It was at the Hilton. Are you kidding? I didn't know that.
It's at the Hilton every year, Fred. Yes,
it sold out. Wow, I had no idea. That's great to hear. I'm happy to hear that. I have a lot of good friends that work for the White Sox, so that's a good thing to know that they're. They're still thriving, relatively, you know, compared to King County.
You're lucky you guys are my big brothers, and I love you.
Buzz, you're the best,
man. Right in the nuts.
You're the best brother. Hey, man, stay warm tomorrow when you're working outside, man. That's not cool.
Sure.
Please be safe. This was a great show, guys. I really enjoyed listening to you both go back and forth. I think I feel better now, though, Keith. You've really kind of calmed me down a little bit. You know, I was kind of a little bit scared. I said, let's just make the trade. Let's just send all our assets away. And now I'm kind of like, you know what? We got Markkanen. We got Wendell Carter Jr. We got Levine. We just need a one and a three. We might even already have the one. I still believe in Dunn to a certain degree. I just want to get a upgrade that backup point guard spot with a guy that can maybe challenge him, Patrick Beverley, maybe get Terrence Ross in at the three, and we're cooking with gas.
I'd love to have Terrence Ross. That's a low-key good pick. That'd be a good pickup.
The free agent pool this offseason and the tier that we're going to be in is very good. You have Patrick Beverley, Darren Collison, Rose, if you decide to go that way, though his price tag off a potential sixth man of the year kind of deal might be a little pricey. You have Danny Green as a small forward on a one-year deal. He's got championship experience. So there's a lot of potential veterans that could help this team really quick in free agency.
All right, guys. All the best to you, brothers. Have a good one. Stay warm,
Chicago.
Take
it easy. Stay warm, Buzz.
All right, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You guys have a great night.
You too, brother. Thank you.